Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
It is 9:01 coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida tonight. We're up close and personal this evening with Marcus Weaver. Marcus Weaver, he's a survivor of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting that took place almost a year ago. You all remember when the shooter, you know, ran up in the movie theater. I believe that was about July 20th, 2012. Y'all know, it was early in the morning. One of those late-night flicks like 12:30 Batman. It was pretty devastating. About 100 round drum, like, magazine is what this dude, you know, used along with a few other things. We have the survivor tonight. Along with one of his ministry partners, stopping past to recount something that is extremely tragic. Many died in that incident. He's a survivor. Up close and personal tonight with Mr. Marcus Weaver. On the other side, hot chocolate, Madam CeeLo Boston, maybe, and I do believe Sage James. I'll be stopping past tonight. This is Kurt Cobain. French Montana. Walk on.
Kurt Cobain. I made that money. I bought me a thing. A bad, bad. Brought a mind to the scene. I got that drink. I mix that lean. Then throw that money up and then I walk on.
Girl, that's with it. I got phone numbers and pictures, room keys and room keys, all up in my pocket. No wallet to shoot. Girl, I walk on green. I walk on green. And if she with me, she with my team. She too turned up. She on my lead. And you can call me PGA because I walk on green. If she moving my speed, jeans all on her clothes. Point guard on my team. She be playing her role. Keep it real OT, she ain't tryna get known. I love a young, Debbie gonna get the dough.
I made that money, I bought me a thing. A bad ass, brought a mind to the scene. I got that drink, I mix that lean. Then throw that money up and then I walk on green. I walk on green, I walk on green. I pull up to the club.
I got perm, drink my cup. I just drink, smoke till I'm gone. Tell him I'll be back next month. I just seen the game and I played it. Most of the time I was faded. I ain't asked if she came with. She just seen the eyes and skated. I'm just going ham in that field. I'm just walking on that green. Threw about 20 grand that L. Told her walk up on that green. Talking pop that roll cup full, getting big. Started from a dollar, now I'm making M's. Walking on that green. Started with dirty money and walking off clean. Suited, Sam Rouse stand. Suited, gone off the lane. I'll be faded with my homie Kurt. Mon Montana coke boys always going to work.
I made that money.
Montana, Walk On Green. We're up close and personal tonight with Mr. Marcus Weaver. He's a survivor of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting that took place some time ago. That was July 20th, 2012, so almost a year ago out in Colorado. He'll be stopping past to share his personal story as a survivor. It is 306, that's my dyslexia kicking in, 306 tomorrow in Paris, and it's 10:06 tomorrow in Tokyo. We have folks listening all over the world, and they're already a step ahead of us, but thanks for rocking with us. Thanks for tuning in your town. Before we go any further, let's go ahead and introduce the crew. All the way live from Itty Bitty Plain City, baby. Give it up. Hot chocolate. Welcome to the show.
What's up? What's up? Happy Monday, everybody. Yes, I am checking in from the Itty Bitty one tonight.
Hey, no doubt, no doubt. We're going to try to, you know, pipeline her in. You know, she making it work where she is to make sure she tapped in. Give it up, Madam CeeLo Boston.
Good afternoon and the morning time. Hopefully I sound better than I did moments
nope.
ago. No better?
Not a tad bit. Not a tad bit.
She tried, though.
I three headsets
sound,
and I'm still no good.
You sound fine while
not,
you're
not
talking, but it's the
okay.
silence. Yeah.
It's just about, okay, so I just need to, no dead air, huh? I just need to hum
no.
while
right.
I'm waiting.
Oh, no way live. From somewhere in the DMV, give it up, St. James. Welcome to the show, buddy. What's cracking?
What up? I got my beer and my shot of yak. I'm ready.
Oh, God.
hey, that's up close to personal on a Monday night.
Wow.
That's his disclaimer.
Yeah, really? Okay.
Yes, that is his
yes.
disclaimer.
You could have sent that to me before you sent, you know. You need to email me some of that. I need some of that. I don't even drink. I need some of that. Yes, I did. CeeLo said that. Yeah.
Sound like you in the shower, son.
Yo, I just need some feedback, yo. I got my own over here, okay? You came in the game late. Sip on your yak, okay? I know
sound
I
like
got
you- It's not like your car overheating back there.
Oh, shut up now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
did not say
Sing
her
along.
Car overheating.
Antifreeze
yeah,
everywhere.
He's right.
You don't have no friends in America. You know that, right?
Except for you three clowns. Hey, y'all fell for it.
Oh,
the fine
and monkey butt. Monkey butt.
Hey, tonight, hey, we are up close and personal with Marcus Weaver, who is a survivor of the Aurora, Colorado shooting. He's going to talk to us about that experience, but, I mean, hey, just recapping and recounting that whole situation. I mean, y'all remember when the dude went up in, I believe it was the Century 16 multiplex out in Aurora. And, I mean, they said the shooter brought a ticket. He entered the theater. He sat down. He sat in the front row. About 20 minutes later, into the film, he got up, went out the emergency door, came back in. Now check it out, because I had to kind of pull it up and look at the specifics of right. what had taken place. But, I mean, dude came in ready. He came in dressed in
yeah.
black, wore a gas mask, loaded with a bearing vest, not to be confused with a bulletproof vest, had a ballistic helmet, he had bullet-resistant leggings, a bullet-resistant throat protector, a growing protector, and tactical gloves. He came in ready for business.
Super prepared, yes. And it was more unfortunate for the people that were impacted because a lot of the moviegoers recounted that they thought it was a part of the production of the film, like because, you know, it was a premiere, it could have, you know, been something special, and that was the first perception of it that kind of got caught people off their guard.
It, in the midst of all of the shootings and everything that's taking place in America, it's crazy to me that the gun laws and the push for guns is still so rampant and so large, and really had kind of the political muscle that's behind gun rights in America is pretty strong.
Yeah.
And we wonder why there's so many shootings. Hey, I saw some statistics not too long ago that said 85% of all gun-related deaths in the world take place where?
In the home.
In the United States of America.
Right here.
85% of gun-related homicides in the world take place right here in America. Unbelievable.
I mean, and it's hard to draw the line where well, to me, it's not difficult to draw the line where you're wanting to protect your family and yourself, and you're not going, you know, overboard with wanting to be just overtly arsenal overloaded. Like, I really can't find the words to describe why people feel the need in a civilized society that's not wartime, like, you know, some of the third world countries, why you would need army magazines or army style magazines. That, to me, it's too much. It's there's too much availability to things like that.
Yeah.
And I think that brings about a lot of the issue too.
I mean, this is land of the free, home of the brave, you know, it's the slogan, you know, and yeah, I remember, like, you know, it was Keep It Funky. This country was taken over with guns blazing. So, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun for real, but, I mean, you know, it's this kind of thing been going on for years. That's how things get settled on these shores. That's how the name was made. That's the reputation that's been followed. And what you going to do?
Well,
I'm not saying
are you referring to gun use or are you referring to just random shootings?
No, gun use in general. That's why the political muscle, that's why a lot of reasons why the political muscle is behind it. As you know, they families are deeply rooted in this country's history. And, you know, that's how this country became what it was. You know, and the sad reality, but we can't discredit history. Things have happened.
I mean, but slavery also was at the foundation of this country. I mean, so can we say just because slavery was at the foundation of the country that, you know, that we accept it? Nah, hell no.
Nah, I'm not saying it's acceptable. I'm not saying we gotta accept it, but I'm just, you know, it's the reality. I mean, you read the stats. The numbers don't lie. 85% of the gun violence is here in America. I don't believe it just got like that.
I mean, that
I don't believe
that,
it. I don't believe it just got. I'm not saying it just got. You can't say that it just got like that. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
But that's not an excuse for it.
I'm not saying it is an excuse. I'm not siding with what happened. I'm not advocating that.
Yes.
at all. Not necessarily advocating that, but it I'm sounds, not, you know it sounds to me
that's
playing devil's advocate.
That's how you coming at me, though. You coming at me no, like I'm
no,
trying to say it was all good.
No, boo. No, boo. That's the
I'm
beer and the
that,
yak talking.
Any,
that's not
I'm
Regina.
Not any, then no part of any kind of hostile takeover is a good situation. I'm just saying, that's just, this was glorified in this country. I mean, look at the movies. Some of my best favorite movies are gangster movies. Casino, Goodfellas.
Yeah.
What was going on from beginning to end in those movies? Hostile takeovers. It's just, you know,
yeah, no, I get
just saying.
I get it. And
I'll turn down.
It comes down. He said, turn down. And I think guns pretty much back up, you know, the stance with money. Guns pretty much back up the stance with power. I mean, you're right. At the foundation of the country, you know, it's about battling and it's about, you know, takeovers, you know, I assume. But at the end of the day, you know, you still got to have some type of, you know, safety mechanism, you know, in the midst. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to be hypocritical. I have a gun. I'm not going to be hypocritical. And so, you know, I don't want to get into the whole, you know, right to bear arms. I think we all have the right and should, you know,
yeah,
uphold
absolutely.
The right. But I think that it comes with a level of education and safety
yeah.
that I don't
yeah,
think
definitely.
Is in place and it's not governed, you know, accordingly. And we'll be right back. We do have Madam CeeLo Boston hanging out with us. And
yes.
and she does
you know what? I'm gonna keep your
case.
That's right. That's right.
Much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Boo,
Sabian.
Sounds nice how you hot boxing in the bathroom.
Yo, Marco.
So you hot boxing in the bathroom now, Mad Echo.
Uncle Baby.
I'll beat your tail.
That's on
can PC. Can I save you from you? Cause you know there's something missing in the champagne you've been sipping. I suppose I make you different all the time. It's starting to feel like the wrong thing to do, girl. Cause with all that recognition, it gets hard for you to listen to the things that I'ma say to make you mine. Live, girl, have some fun, girl, we'll be fine. Trying to convince myself I found one. Making the mistake I never learned from. I swear I always fall for your touch, yeah. For your touch, tell me. Nothing like the last girl. I just pray that you don't let me down right now. It's too late, I'm already yours. You just gotta promise me hearts won't break and end up like before. I swear I always fall for your touch, yeah. For your touch.
Hanging off your shoulder, barely sober. Telling me how you moving away and starting over. Girl, quit playing, you just drunk, you just saying shit. And oh, you dance like how, like ballet and shit. Oh, wait. No, I get it, girl, I'm with it. I've been down this road before, and yeah, I skid it, but forget it, damn, damn. I wonder why I never learned my lesson. It's feeling like it's second chance, and it's the first impression. And I heard there's nothing new except for someone new. But how you supposed to find the one with anyone who'll come with you? Talking to myself, but I never listen. Cause man, it's been a while, and I swear that this one's different. That's why I'ma take you anywhere you wanna go. Let you meet my friends so they can lecture me again about how reckless I have been. And I'm slowly running out of all the time that I invested, making all the same mistakes, and I'm just trying to correct it, and I'm falling.
Monday. Thank you for joining us. I am Madam Boston. It's 9:21 p.m. on the East Coast. It's 6:21 p.m. on the West Coast. And y'all in the middle, figure it out. And that was Jamie Foxx and Drake with Fall for Your Type. Yo, I really did drink when that song came out. I love that song. And it did me, and it did me all.
She did the mouth.
I mean, come on, you know some dude was singing that in your ear like that.
Yep. Right in the shower.
You know what? Yeah.
Right in the shower.
Watching my water through TV. Yeah.
Right in the shower.
You know what?
No, that's dangerous, don't you?
It's against the law. It's against the law. Oh,
hey, hit us up. If you want to join this conversation, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Madam CeeLo Boston, Hot Chocolate, St. James, TM. We up close and personal tonight with Marcus Weaver, who will be stopping past here shortly. What up, crew? What's been cracking? Hey, say, what's up going on up there? Is it hot in the DMV, man? I know it's hot in New York.
It was nice. It was kind of hot. It was like up in 90, but it was that humid heat that, you know, you can't breathe. They tell people respiratory issues, stay in the house heat. That's real nasty.
Right.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, but, you know, it rained like every day. But one thing, it didn't rain on 4th of July. You know, it has a record for that out here. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice, though. You know what I mean? Got a chance to wash the whip.
It didn't rain. Very good.
You know what I mean? Got the wood grain popping, you know. The fresh boomerang TV antenna on the back. You know how we go.
Not the boomerang antenna.
Yes, I. You know what? Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Hey,
look.
Hey,
I know that normally.
Go ahead.
Well, I was because I know we normally don't really talk too much about entertainment on Mondays, but there was something that I saw today that really just struck me. The fact that Matthew Knowles got married and Beyonce and Solange, neither one of them went to the wedding, and he didn't marry the woman that he cheated on their mother with, that threw me the hell off, and it made the news, and that is
why did that throw you off? That just says that Matthew is still the pimp that he's always been.
His hand is strong.
And it shows you that his daughters are riding with a mama. It shows you there's solidarity in the female.
And see, you know, and that's the part that threw me off right here. Not the fact that they stood with their mother, but the fact that they didn't even support the father at all. You know what I mean? Like, it just kind of threw me off. Yeah.
I'm just threw you off that he didn't marry his baby mama. Is that what
he knew
you
that?
Off?
No, not that part. I was surprised. I wasn't surprised about his actions as a man. I was more surprised about how the daughters responded by not supporting him. That's what threw me off right there. That they didn't even.
Yeah, definitely did not. I
could
see them
not agreeing.
Yeah. I mean, I bet he saw that coming.
Yeah,
he betrayed their trust in their mind, you know, so, you know, they want to just go ahead and cut it off.
Right.
But before we go in front of the ladies and gentlemen, before we go too much further down the entertainment path here, because this is a conversation that we could keep going for a minute. Hey, it looks like our special guest has joined us tonight. Up close and personal this evening, we have Mr. Marcus Weaver, who is a survivor of the Aurora movie theater shooting, which actually jumped off almost a year today. That was July 20th of 2012. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mr. Marcus Weaver. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man.
Hey, absolutely. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. And sorry, I got confused on the dates and the times. I thought it was tomorrow, but you know what? I'm here now, and I'm ready to talk, man.
It sounds like he took CeeLo Boston's advice. You know, it's 9:05 here, it's 6:05 there, and everybody in the middle figure it out. That's what happened. So it's not your fault, Mark. We got you.
Okay.
Hey, welcome again to the show, man. We really appreciate you for stopping past. I mean, something as tragic as the shooting almost a year ago. I mean, I'm thinking to even talk about it could probably bring back some memory you pretty much are trying to forget. But why don't you just start off by introducing yourself to the world, and
absolutely.
You can start wherever you want to start.
Sure. Well, I'm Marcus Weaver. I'm from Virginia Beach. That's where I met Regina. We were in high school together. And then, you know, I ventured out into the world and kind of didn't really know the Lord. And I think the whole thing about this Aurora shooting has brought in a heightened sense of awareness for faith. It's what truly has gotten me through. I mean, I recall the night of the theater like it was yesterday. You know, I went to the movies with my friend Rebecca Wingo, and we sat in the fifth row, and then once the movie starts, about 10 minutes into the movie, there was a smoke bomb that went across the bottom of the theater, and it whizzed across and hit the wall. And so if I'm putting the listeners to your show in the movie theater, I'm looking directly at the screen, and then on the right side through the exit, the gunman had came out and just started open firing on people who were sitting in the seats. And so at first we thought it was, you know, a joke because, you know, maybe it goes along with the movie or some little kid, because we didn't have fireworks in Colorado this last summer. And so as the seconds went by, it became real clear that it wasn't a prank or a joke. And so then I got on the floor with Rebecca, and, you know, I could see the gunman out the crack. And the thing that I will always remember is the sound, you know, the loudness and just the white, you know, of the gun. And so, oh, man, that's the thing that kind of never goes away. And then, you know, he lit off about 150 rounds. And then a voice in my head, you know, said that he's going to stop shooting and you get up and you leave the theater. And so I was like, man, that's crazy, because people are running everywhere, screaming. It was crazy. And then you could hear the bullets hitting the seat in front of me. And you have to remember, in stadium seating, the seat in front of you is not that big because it's at a downward angle. And so he finally stopped shooting. And so that's when I got up, picked my finger Rebecca up, and then on the chair there was already a dead body there, so I picked her up, put her on there, and she was unconscious and lifeless. So I tried to get her on my left side through the row, but there's bodies you know, in the row, and then people were rushing down the middle, and they were rushing towards the exits, and then all of a sudden he started firing again, and so I got knocked over by people coming down. So Rebecca was just right there, and I was like, well, let me get out of theater and I can go grab a policeman and we can get her out, because I assume a police officer would be there. Usually that theater, the Aurora Theater, is probably one of the most well-secured theaters, because they have a lot of young kids goofing around and stuff like that. So as I was exiting the theater, I saw people crawling towards the exit. One guy had his head shot in, and another person had lost his arm. So it was this real crazy scene, and he had started shooting again, meaning that he could have went around the theater you know, and shot individuals. And I think that was the point when I got shot in my arm, but I didn't know I was shot into my arm until I got outside, talked to police officers, and stood across there just watching people, bringing people out and just people rushing out, because there was other theaters converging in the lobby. So once I got outside, that's when some little girl came up to me and said, "Your arm's bleeding." And that's when I realized I was shot in my arm. And so then I was more concerned about my friend Rebecca. But at the same time, see, these are – I'm telling you this because I have a year's worth of information, but – When we were all outside looking at the theaters, people were coming out and rushing out and, you know, figuring things out. Well, they were arresting the gunman on the other side of the theater. Isn't that crazy? And as the minutes went on, they rushed me to the hospital because they didn't know where the exit wounds were. So I went to a hospital, and that hospital was one that was kind of further out. So they only took three people from the theater. The other hospitals were jam packed with people, and my hope was that they had grabbed Rebecca and taken her to the hospital. So keep that in mind. And so then I went to the emergency room, and they were like, "You're so fortunate to be alive." And I go, "Why?" A detective came. He said, "Everybody who was sitting around you was either shot, killed, or there's something going on with them, a critical condition." So the next step was I had put on Facebook that I was going to see the movie. So one of my friends from back home in Virginia Beach had called me to make sure I was okay. Well, she turns out to be a reporter, so she recorded what happened, just like we're talking right now. She recorded all that, and then I was the first person that people heard on the East Coast. So then from there, they released me from the hospital because they said the bullets couldn't come out of my arm, but just go home and rest up. Well, I had to talk to Rebecca's parents. I also had to talk to her father, who's in California, her ex-husband. They have two children together, you know, wonderful kids. And then so I had to talk to them and tell them what happened. My whole thing was keep hope that she may still be alive. And so then I kept getting calls from relatives, and all these TV personalities would come to my house and ask me that one interview, and I didn't answer the door. And finally I got a call from Anderson Cooper, and he invited me to come up. And at that point, we couldn't find Rebecca anywhere. So I was like, well, maybe I'll go up there and raise awareness about her. So not only was I in a cast, you know, bandaged up, but also was worried about my friend. Well, there was a rumor when we got back up to the theater, which that's where all the interviews were, that, like, there were some people still inside the theater that they had left. So I kept praying that it wasn't, you know, her, that maybe she was in the hospital, you know, unconscious, didn't know. So I go out there and interview with Anson Cooper, did that interview. Then they pull you to another interview, and then another interview, another interview. So the whole time I'm raising awareness about her, but also talking about what happened, but also about my injury. And you got to remember, I was up for about 40 hours straight because I was on vacation, and I was up the whole day before, and we went to the movie, and it turned into the next day, into the evening. And so the two questions they kept asking, Regina, was, will you forgive the shooter? And I said, I'm a man of faith. Of course I will. And at the time, like, I was so, like, the words that came out of my mouth came from a place where, you know, my whole life I had people do mean things to me and probably done mean things to other people. And so when I got into, you know, my faith a little bit deeper, I learned those principles that, you know, you forgive like you people should forgive you. And so I know what he did was probably the worst massacre in U.S. history. But at the same time, it's like I'm not forgiving him right now, but I know I will because my faith tells me to. So because if I don't, I'm going to end up just like him and carry that burden and that pain. Well, what happened there was everybody was shocked to hear that, you know, but at the same time, there's all these Christian groups and people around the country had started to send me letters, you know, saying what you said, you know, was amazing, you know, and it took courage to say that. And that's all I knew, you know what I mean? And so then the second question was, do you think he deserves a death penalty? And so my thoughts were, you know, they were all biblical based. They were, you know, well, vengeance is the Lord's. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen to him, you know. And a couple months afterwards, you know, and this is just going forward, meeting with the DA's office, they have a meeting with other victims and stuff. We share stories about what happened, but when you go to the DA's office, they tell about, like, just things that happened in the theater, and they show where all the bullets came from with a string. Well, there's about 30 bullets that went through my seat. So it's basically a miracle I'm here. So about 30 days into it, after going to interviews and talking about it and just burning myself out and, you know, being on the cover of USA Today magazine, all these different things, and people write me letters and all these, you know, well-wishers that just will come out of nowhere. Like, after doing all that, you just realize, like, that this ain't going to go away anytime soon, so I need to get back to the source. So I spent a lot of time in my room after the first 3 days which are kind of like just became a little bit too much, because it's not really a celebrity you are. You're a survivor. And to people, they want a part of that. And I always want to tell you your opinion about James Holmes. I always want to talk about, you know, how I could have done things better, you know, things like that. But you get sick of that after a while. You get sick of people, like, seeing restaurants and they want to shake your hand and all that. It just becomes too much at the beginning while you're working through, like, things like post-traumatic stress disorder and, you know, not getting sleep and having nightmares and all this stuff. But people don't realize that. And so I spent some time with myself in my basement. I'm staying in a had some roommates, I'm staying in a basement apartment. And I opened up my Bible one day after praying, you know, and getting close to him. And 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6, it talks about how God wants his people to be a light in darkness. And so I took that, and I was just like, well, maybe the Lord wants to be a light out of darkness. So then about a week later, I had a speaking appointment that I really didn't want to go to, and I was kind of nervous to go. But me and Megan, a girl who I met in September who I'd known before, who later became my wife this year, she went with me. And we talked to a youth group, and you couldn't have there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And I just realized at that point that my whole story, not just the theater part, but all the obstacles and trials I've been through in my life, you know, led up to that point to where I could talk about it in front of people. And then it led to, you know, speaking in New York, it led to speaking in North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, you know, California, all these places. And so that's kind of where the Lord's leading me right now. You know, I have a heightened sense of just who I am, and a lot of it stems from being on the ground at Ninth Theater, because I really felt that, you know, and I still to this day, that the Lord definitely guided me out of that theater, and he plucked me up and put me in all these different things I could never imagine, like going on a helicopter ride around the city with both mayors, you know, the TV shows, the programs, the, you know, they want me to write a book, you know, about my life, because that was a story before, but it just seems like the Lord's been gearing me up and using me for his purposes in this event. So I'm not one of the victims who is upset or holds regret, you know, not saying that there's people who've lost loved ones. Do you know what I mean? And so I continue to pray for them every day. But at the same time, the Lord's going to use this situation, especially through me, to point to the lights that can be made out of this. And it also brings awareness to all the different things I'm involved in, like reentry and, you know,
Marcus, let's do this, because you have you've saved us a lot of energy. We don't have to ask a whole lot of questions, because you've answered a lot of our questions. But before we go into reentry, for me, I want to hear a little bit more. We're going to take a break and come back. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just tuned in to the show, we're up close and personal tonight with Mr. Marcus Weaver. He is a survivor of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting, almost anniversary to this date. You all remember the shooting. About 12 people died, 70 injured at the movie theater July 20th, 2012. When we come back, more questions, and we'll continue our conversation with our special guest tonight, up close and personal, Marcus.
like nothing ever happened. Give me something new, like you always do.
Like you always do.
I just kiss your cheek, and this is what I tell you.
Hyman Radio Live. We are back. It is 9:42 p.m. here on the East Coast.
Yep.
I am Hot Chocolate, joined by T.M. Hyman, Sabe James, the lovely Madam CeeLo Boston, and our special guest for the night, Mr. Marcus Weaver. He's one of the Colorado shooting survivors, and we're very thankful that he took the time to come in. Tell his story again, because we were just talking a minute behind the scenes, and you have to have told this story like 100,000 times, and I know it can't get any easier. So really, really thank you for coming in and sharing your story with our listeners.
No doubt.
Before we went to the break, you mentioned that you wanted to touch a little bit on reentry. And if you just want to shed a little bit of light on what that is with our listeners and how you came to the idea to want to do that.
Yeah, well, I was always one of those kids. I mean, you're from Virginia Beach, you know, where, you know, you get in trouble, suburb trouble. But when you become an adult, you know, when you start getting in real trouble, there's some real consequences to it. And I think a lot of my trouble stems from, you know, I had a relationship with a father who's really abusive and all that stuff. You know, I could blame him for all kinds of stuff, but I think like most of my early adulthood, I was kind of like in and out of trouble, but always had a good job, whatever, things like that. And so I got into trouble, and then when I got out of that trouble, I realized there was a lot of opportunities out there. I knew I didn't want to get in trouble, and so what I did was I stayed at a homeless shelter for like a week. Well, they ended up giving me a job. I already had a job, but they ended up giving me another job as a working in shelter. So I really got to know what reentry was like, from being in trouble and getting out of trouble to, you know, being on the side where you can help others, and end up writing a grant for some of the stimulus money that was out, and we got $3.8 million to do renewable energy training and 5 points, and we only worked with offenders. So that became kind of a theme, and from there I went on to work for a company called Bud's Warehouse, and it's a nonprofit where we only work with people coming out of prison, helping them rebuild lives, but it's the backdrop is a warehouse where we sell donated furniture that's donated throughout the community. So now I work for a company called Metal Movers, where we have a ministry attached to business, and we're about to build – I just moved in. We're about to build a 150-bed reentry program where guys come in. They only work – they work for the company, but we help them out, and we call it Stepping Stones. So that's my new venture. So I'm all about helping offenders. And reentry is one of those things where I noticed there's three factors. You got to have some support on the outside, whether it's through a church, prison ministry, or some family or someone that's going to walk beside you and kind of model you and help you out. Two, you definitely need a job and you need a place to stay. And resources are so critical, and a lot of states don't have them like we do here.
So I'm hoping that we could take this business model and this program, and we could do it in each of the 50 states. So,
well,
yep.
my hand is raised for Hillsborough County, my friend, because I also am an advocate for ex-offenders. And when it comes to reentry, we are helping to lead the fight here in Tampa.
Oh, Hillsborough,
so
definitely.
I'd love to get with you. Hill, you know for a fact, if you know anything about reentry, that in Florida, Hillsborough County leads recidivism in the entire state. And so the idea, you know, that you're talking about taking that model and using it in other places, you know, I definitely want to talk to you off the air about what we can do.
Oh, absolutely.
That work model is important. And so we appreciate you taking time to stop past and talk to us tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime, you guys, I would love to come back. I mean, there's the big story that's coming out of Colorado, and I think the world's going to see that, like, as the anniversary approaches, that, like, the people who were involved and the people who actually survived, you know, there's a lot of cool things that we can do just to show people that, you know, we are moving forward, and there's a lot of great things going on, and we look to branch out. So I look forward to talking with you about reentry stuff, and anytime you need a guest on your show on the spot, I know a little about everything, so I'm excited, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, well, you can definitely plan to come back closer to the 20th.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not kicking you off. You can definitely hang out with us. We got a few more minutes left in the show. Anybody, before we take another break, any specific questions coming from the team?
Well, I actually.
Yes. Go ahead, Boston. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, yeah. So my question was, because a lot of people, I heard somebody else say this earlier, that not everybody got a chance to follow, like, the ending result of what actually happened to the suspect. Would you mind, you know, giving an update on, because I know, like, the victims and survivors are, you know, getting their lives back together. But what actually happened with the suspect and,
He was arrested, you know, and of course I'm in the DA's office, and his motive with all the pictures and all the evidence, I mean, the guy was taking pictures of all his weapons, he was casing out to join a couple months before. They have all those pictures of him, like, making bombs in his house and all that kinds of stuff. So his defense was that if he pleaded guilty, you know, he said that he would plead guilty if he would receive life. Well, we all got together as victims and decided that he deserves the death penalty. Wasn't my choice, but as a group, that's what the decision was. And so now his lawyers are pursuing a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. So what that means is for the next 2 or 3 years, possibly even 4, you will hear about this trial and it will drag it out, which means not only his family has to go through it, but all the victims as well. So I'm learning to lean on my faith deeply once again to get through this, but at the same time, though, it's difficult. It's a grind. We get emails on the daily about, you know, the updates in the trial and all the motions and all the hearings. And every time I go to court, you know, the cameras and the whole thing. So I don't really think it will go away, but I just realized that we could use this as something, you know, because all of us go through a court trial or something like that or some type of tragedy at times. So, but it's just carrying on a little bit too much. Unlike the Sandy Hook, which I think was way more horrible, well, the gunman there killed himself, so therefore it was done. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And then the grieving could take place. With this, the grieving's prolonged for the families, the 12 or the 56 or even the other people that was involved, even the state. So
we'll just keep
on our prayers. But that's kind of the update right now. He's going to Pueblo to the mental hospital. And then, therefore, he's going to get an evaluation, and we'll move forward from there. But there's absolutely 100% no way that man was insane. He had programmed his apartment, too. I don't know if you guys knew that, you know. And so for, like, 2 or 3 days, we were just, like, the whole city was at siege over this guy. So there's no way. No way.
Right.
Crazy people don't put that much planning and
into something
that they're going to do.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
So my question before we break briefly, and I don't I've never really thought about this aspect of it. My children are conspiracy theorists all the way. I'm sorry. So there's a conspiracy in everything.
Sure.
They saw a, and I'm not an advocate of this particular artist, but this is who it was. They saw a Lil Wayne video, and in the video there happened to be, it kind of mimicked almost in a reenactment of where the 12 bodies were in the movie theater almost, and it was kind of eerie that the video was released prior to the shooting. Have you, I mean, has anybody brought any other type of conspiracy theories about how all this could have came about to your attention, or?
Well, those little, I've heard all kinds of different things, and, you know, and then there was like a YouTube video out there that's saying like how I should help Rebecca. It wasn't viewed by many people, but it's just disturbing that like there's people out there. And when I look at some of the things that people have said, you know, in some of the comments on Facebook or whatever, it's just people have a misconception of what reality is and what, like, what really happened and what you really could have done in a situation. And so, you know, for people to emulate it or put a video out, conspiracy theories, you know, that gunman, he acted alone. He did it on his own fruition, and he did it to hurt people. And therefore, you can pull it any way you want, throw a conspiracy on it, but he acted alone. Do you know what I mean? So I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about what other people put out there or worry about what other people say or the different theories out there. All I know is that, you know, I'm very fortunate to be here, and through God's grace, I made it out. And therefore, you know, there's some weird people in the world who have a lot of theories and stuff. But, you know, he acted alone. There was a two gunman theory. I've heard that. I heard that he wasn't trying to leave the theater, but he had jacks in his car. See, there's like a truth, and then there's like the reality, and there's what the evidence is. So you just have to sort through it. But the main thing is continue prayers for the families, you know, and some of the people are still suffering through their injuries and all the people are recovered, because it hasn't ended for us. It's still part of it. You know, we live here. We're trying to put things together. And that's where our prayers should be focused, you know. So
ladies
not all
and gentlemen,
the
we are
stuff,
up close and personal tonight. We are up close and personal tonight with Marcus Weaver, survivor of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting. We'll be right back. Amy Winehouse, Like Smoke, TM Honolulu Live. Back in a moment.
I never want you to be my man. I just need your company.
The proofread, I spit some untruths to dumb fools and groupies. Fun to punctuate, pronunciate the funds I make a monster take. Put in your face, oh mama say, you not a floozy, then excuse me. Before I talk my style, introduce me, get your name and phone number like 1, 2, 3. Y'all know the story, y'all know the commentary. I kick the narrative, this is legendary. The good Samaritan, hood thespian, like a polygamist. With a twist, will I marry again? Maybe, I guess, I hold a lady interest. I just met the love scholar, she the teacher's pet. Every other eve we meet and make each other sweat. I feel triumphant, no strings, just a fling to have fun with. I'll be out in London, Camden, hunting for the answers. Why did God take away the homie? I can't stand it, I'm a firm believer that we all meet up in eternity. Just hope the big man show me some courtesy. Why? Cause I'm deemed a heartbreaker like smoke. Girls ling around a player. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I never want you to be my man. Oh,
effects, it's affecting my complexion, misdirecting my affection. My concerns are bill collection, the faxes, the taxes, they after me. Chapter 3, my property, my handlers, they dealt with me improperly. I say some things I should probably keep privately. Evaluate the World Bank Trust like I'm IEG. This fly sweet to my bourgeoisie, tall freak. She wouldn't protest with me at Wall Street. She says, no, you're so deep. I said, no, let's go through it. Historically so ruthless, Fed came for Joe Lewis. She said, my man, you need to laugh sometime. Classifies me as a bull, I told I have some wine. You colder than penguin poop, get her dismay. She's thinking that shit's so silly to say. But if you really think about it, hussy, see a penguin, he drags his on the ground all day. And it's a dragon, it's a buster, you're in tune with just lust. I'm through with you after I crustle. Is that humorous enough? The smoke I puff. Tell the car to go to Aura Funky Buddha Whiskey Mr. Mayfair. I hope I meet Simone Love so she can show me love. NYC to UK, I might stay there. Everybody in the club tonight, say yeah. You know how me and Amy are straight players.
Whoa, whoa.
TM Hyman Radio Live. It is 9:56. We are here with the crew. It's 10:56 out in Nova Scotia. Ah, I think I knew about that city out there, right?
10:56 AM or PM?
We are here with Mr. Marcus Weaver, survivor of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting. Tough man over here. I got a question for you, bruh, real quick. You ain't got to rest on it too long. When you found out, when you caught one in the arm, did your machismo come out just a little bit like, yeah, I took a bullet? You know
no,
what I'm saying? Did you swallow yourself a little bit?
No, I'm from Virginia Beach, and before that, my relatives are from St. Louis, so it was kind of like one of those things. I've seen them with all kinds of bullet holes and stuff, so it was kind of like one of those things. At first, but when they took the bullets out, they added more holes, and then they took them. The police officers waiting right there and took the bullets. I kind of wanted to keep them, but
that's
know,
what I
so.
Did. Memorabilia, yeah. Let them know. I'm a story.
Yep.
That's crazy, but that's a crazy story, though, man.
Oh yeah, dude. It's still going on. It ain't done yet. That's the whole thing, and it's gonna prolong and prolong. But you're gonna see that the people who made it out are gonna be these survivors and these people who are going to do some courageous things because we've been given a gift. Do you know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So,
you benefit, there's always benefit in adversity, you know, regardless of how dismal it is.
So oh, absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I appreciate being on the show tonight, and definitely I'll call in as it gets closer to the time or whenever. I like music, too. I really like some of the tracks you guys are playing tonight, so... Yeah, I'm from Virginia Beach. We're all into music, so.
I think James was trying to play you, Mark, like you was, you know, saucy and, you know, behind your Christianity, like you're not still, you know, you got a little thug in you, and, you know, he don't know that.
Totally.
You don't pull that out all the time.
I don't have to.
You don't have to put that on your plate.
You probably got a tattoo on the bullet wound. Yep, I do have a tattoo by the bullet wound, yep.
See, I already know.
I know that.
Yep,
right.
So, but yeah, let's get together again and definitely hit me up on that reentry. Maybe I'll come out there and we see what we can do, man, for sure.
I'll make sure that I get your contact information, brother, and we appreciate your message of forgiveness tonight, man, in the midst of
that's right, it's all about forgiveness, yep.
Absolutely.
All right, brothers,
ladies,
okay, you guys, sisters.
Take us home. We out of here.
Well, whatever you do, do it well. And as you see, like I guess, don't let any adversity, you know, stop you from living your life's purpose, your God-given purpose. Check out on the next
thank,
time.
Thank you again, Marcus Weaver. You see, I hold no grudges, even though you stood me up for my senior prom, but I forgive you too.
Burn!
Wow.
Burn!
Wow.
Burn!
I'll
see you Wednesday.
All I'm saying is Colorado's Amsterdam of the USA. I'm going to look you up when I get out there, homie. I'm going to holler.
Lord.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Only
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio
Show.
Talk radio show. Talk radio show. Talk radio show. Talk radio show. Talk radio show.
TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, Talk Radio Show, Talk Radio Show, Talk Radio Show. Real talk, real, real talk, Talk, Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, Talk Radio Show, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, Talk Radio Show, real, real.